What are we going to listen to today, and where are we going to travel, and who are we going to meet? Well, I've got a bit of everything. I have a couple of interviews. I have a lot of songs actually, but I'm not entirely certain that I'm going to do the full hour. I might do half an hour, and I may continue right the way to 60 minutes. But here we go. Let's roll.
Frog was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him with drinking wine, and he always had some mighty fine wine. George
ride today ahead with you, my friend. Peace and love and happiness without an end. All you've got to do is just stay positive. There's a brighter day ahead for you.
We see
a brighter day ahead.
Oh,
we see the dawning of the new.
We see the future of tomorrow.
We see prosperity for you. There's a brighter day ahead for you, my friend. Peace and love and happiness without an end. All you got to do is just stay positive. There's a brighter day ahead for you. Now it's a matter of time before you change your mind. Let's use our brains to its fullest. And no matter how heavy your problems can be levied, for it's mind over matter. Whatever the matter may be,
we see
a brighter day ahead.
We see the dawning of the new. We see the future of tomorrow.
Prosperity for you.
Okay, well, there you have it. There's three songs. And Jeremiah was a bullfrog, Elvis Costello, Pump It Up, and We See by Derf Recklaw. And next up, hey, by the way, that Derf Recklaw song is from Froggy Me. I heard it there first. And remember, this is the Banana Republic, where you've heard it all before. Next up, I have a tale for you. I need to make one correction in this story, and that is that the river I mention is the Tugela River, which on reflection was actually the Umkamaz River, and they are both quite, I wouldn't say they're large rivers, but they are notable for the type of environment they're in. Alrighty, so that particular song reminds me of an adventure I went on as a teenager. And I had heard that the Sunday school had gone down the Tugela River, which is a river in Africa or in Natal. And they'd gone in pump-up tubes and things like that and floated down. So I had this image in my mind, and I think it was correct because they had gone down at near the estuary and floated down and had fun. So a friend came to my house and said, hey, we're going down the Tugela River, rafting, do you want to come? And of course I volunteered and said, yes, of course. And so he said, I'll pick you up at about 3. And I was like, what? So anyway, and I was just a teenager, as I say, and I told my dad, and dad said, well, you can go as long as you take a life jacket. And I promised to take one. I don't think I had any intention of wearing it, but as it turned out, he did wake me up at 3 and or so, and he said, "Have you got food and a sleeping bag?" And I said, "Yes, of course." And we got into a Land Rover. and we drove inland for a long way until we got to, I think there were two bridges. One was called Hella Hella and the other was called St. Josephine or something like that. And I didn't know which one we had gone to or where we started, but he drove the Land Rover in and I think we might have stopped for a Coke. And it was myself, it was Mitchell, and I forget the other guy's name. They were both bodybuilders. So Mitchell was my age and big and strong. I was a cyclist, so I was a skinny little thing. And the other guy was quite much older. He was in his 40s and he was a business owner and I think Mitch revered him and was using him as a role model. So I had brought a book to read as I went down the river. And there's a giveaway clue because I mentioned Whitewater. But so I had this idyllic picture of going down a river in my on my little my Speedo and my book to read, and oh my goodness me. And it didn't look very much. This little river was running past and just a few little ripples over the rocks, and they took out the raft and they took out the tubes and the net and they put it on, and I helped with that, and we tied it down and we threw the food and the sleeping bags in. And then we must have had someone else, or we left the car there, because somehow the car arrived at the other bridge 2 days later. When I say the 2 days later, the next day, but it felt like 2 days. And off we went. And then they said, "Keep an eye for the red arrow." And I said, "What's the red arrow?" And they said, "Oh, it's a rapid or a waterfall. And it's written on the side."
You'd want to know where.
And so I thought, well, what kind of rapid can this be? And then I heard the sound. And I heard, like, what is that? And they said, "Oh, it's white water." We went around the corner. And of course, it had been flooding, hadn't it? Goodness me. The next 6 or 8 hours, maybe 6 hours, was pretty long as we went down there. And I had put on my life jacket, and thankfully. But what really frightened me, I think I must have done it because the others put life jackets on. And they said, "Yeah, put it on." And I had a really nice one. Like, it had this, it was quite big and it was quite safe and sturdy. Whereas they had these two little flimsy things, and they were both big guys. And then they started asking me to swap with them. But by this stage, I was no longer interested in trading my life jacket for what they were wearing. And then one of them got sucked off the side of the boat and the raft and had gone under the waterfall and had disappeared, and the other had pulled him up. And it never stopped. And eventually, we decided, it was getting dusk, and we decided to pull over somewhere. And we found this orchard, orange orchard, and we found a little pump house in it, and we slept in this, in the coldest valley you've ever been in, because it was an orange orchard, as I say, and it had hills around it, as far as I recall. And I opened up my bag, which was a dustbin bag, and I packed, my food consisted of a couple of pineapples, which had pierced the side of the dustbin bag, and it was all wet. So I slept in a wet sleeping bag, minus temperatures, on a floor with dung on it, and it was that cold at night that I actually got out of my sleeping bag and climbed into the dustbin bag and then climbed back into the sleeping bag to stay warm, and curled into a ball and woke up the following morning shivering. And we traveled for another, probably till lunchtime, but by then it had seasoned out and flattened, and it was quite nice. But there were two incidents along the way. Like, the one was the guy that got taken down, and the other was we stopped at a cliff side, and there were these cliffs on the side. They were probably, I don't know, 60 meters, maybe 30, no. They were high enough that you couldn't see what was going on the top, and steep enough. And the locals threw rocks at us.
Oh, bless them.
From, it was quite funny. And these things were plopping next to us. And we were like, what? And we jumped back on the raft and we kept an eye on the hills after that. Yeah, that was very different from what I'd heard the Sunday school had done the previous weekend.
Maybe it was a different river. What a memory. So when did the song come into it?
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good point. Virginia Plain was a song I had been listening to. I think I bought the Roxy Music album and had been listening to it. And there's this, it's a very catchy, happy song that makes you just feel like, and so I think I was humming at the start of the adventure, and I was, you know, it was very much in my mind the whole trip. And to this day, whenever that song comes up, I just see myself going down this raft or down this river with cliff faces on both sides, a bit creepy water, and three guys who had never, none of us had ever been on a tube before, and certainly not in flood season. And these boys were clinging on. They were as terrified as I was.
Yeah.
No, you know, we were all pretty much like, and you couldn't stop. You just, there was nowhere to go. You just had to stay on your raft. And it wasn't your raft, it was all of your rafts. So I think we were located at different positions, one in the middle, one in the back, and one in the front. And we had things that we called oars. But yeah, it was a great adventure. It was a lot of fun.
That's phenomenal. Scary as.
Picture.
La 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 la. Okay, so next up we have a story from Paul. Paul emigrated to Australia from England, and he brought with him a collection of tales, which when I hear them, I can do none other than press record, and with his permission, of course. So here we go with the first of the tales.
Okay, many years ago, as a stoner, there was a bunch of us around Plimpton who just used to be no-hopers, always out of work and just smoking dope. And we got this job rebuilding a dry stone wall around a graveyard in St. Morris. And because St. Morris Church is so old, you know, it's hundreds and hundreds of years old, everything comes under Grade 1 listing. It's a historical building, so you can't do any kind of work on the building at all unless you have a permit and someone there to supervise you whilst you're doing the work. So these permits used to take all day to turn up some days, you know, and we would just sit in the gravedigger's shed smoking dope. Anyways, one of these days, we're sat in the gravedigger's shed and we've had some particularly strong, I think it was gold seal or something, hash. I'm looking at my friend Matthew, and Matthew's been really still for quite a long time. And as I'm looking at him, to the left side of his head, I see a twinkling, and a spider had actually spun a web between the door lintel and the side of his face and was catching a fly. True story.
Well, there we go. That's it, friends. See you next week. Take care.
I can hardly bear the sight of lipstick on the cigarettes there in the ashtray.